ゴン。ゴン、ゴン、ゴン、ゴン、ゴン。So, because this is a final opportunity to do communal chanting, we always call this the last chance. Okay, come on. So, we do the Arahang first of all. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi Suvakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. So being as this is the final day, shall we do the funeral chants instead of this? Okay, we'll just do a tippy song.
Iti pi so bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Sniccha charana sampanno Sugato lokavidu anuttaro Purisadamasarati Satade Vamanusana Buddha Bhagavati Suvakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhittiko akaliko ehipasiko opanayiko pachyatang veditabo vinyuhiti supatipanno bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sukhipatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yadita Chatari Purisayugani Atta Purisapugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaniyo Anuttarang Punya Hetang Lokasati.
Now, the Loving Kindness Sutta. So let's give it everything we've got. Full power. 150%. Ready? On your marks. Get set.
This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, not busy with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety. May all beings be happy. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, freed from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to false views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all set desires, is not born again into this world. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
An extra couple of he's, come on. Very good. Actually, saying he is a bit sort of, it's not gender neutral, is it? We should say her, her, her.
Very good.
Okay, now, what am I supposed to do this morning? I'm waiting orders. Guided meditation right now. Yeah, and then afterwards, just a few words. Guided meditation and then the last few words. Okay. Okay. So we've got to finish about when? Before breakfast. We can maybe forget breakfast and we just go through the glass. Not funny, Ajahn Brahm. Okay, so first of all, we're doing maybe half an hour, 40 minutes, so maybe half an hour and then final few minutes. So, so first of all, just close your eyes. And have some loving kindness towards your body. My legs. You've done a good job the last 67 years. So I'm not going to treat you like a slave to order around. I'm going to be kind to you. Treat you like one of my best friends. So I'm just making sure you're all comfortable the way you're sitting. That the pressure points could be on your ankles or on your feet. They're as released, as comfortable as possible. The knees are not just tight and tense. They may cause problems. The hips are as relaxed as you can get them. So really spend time caring for my legs. May all legs be happy and well. May all legs be free of pain. Be comfortable, no tightness, no tension. We don't just say that, we actually feel it. And if necessary, take appropriate action so that the legs are comfortable. And then also my buttocks. Because they do take a lot of pressure. I've got to make sure that they're going to be comfortable. Otherwise, fidgeting happens. Or sometimes, like, numbness comes into your legs. Because, you know, you're not sitting properly. So check the muscles in my butt. In meditation, you should never, as they say in the US Marines, kick butt. Be careful, butts. And make sure they're nice and comfy. Comfy butts. And then go up to our waist and our back. I just make sure, what can I do to make you more comfortable? Back, because I care about you. May all vertebrae, may all organs be happy and well. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are thin or fat, omitting none. Just make sure everything is really, I live by my words. I care for my body. Just be aware of it. Really, really see if I can make you more comfortable. And even my shoulders. Really care for you, shoulders. So how can I make you more happy, comfortable? And sometimes you can't do anything. Just imagine myself smiling at my shoulders. Because you know I've been smiling at you for the last 8 or 9 days. Just a little smile just makes you relaxed and makes you easy. And just when I smile at even the guards, the security up there, when I pass them I always smile. And then they never shoot. That's only a joke. So smile. Smile at my shoulders. So I imagine those shoulders and I'm smiling at them, being kind to them. And they relax, they don't get tense or scared. And then just any other part of my torso, just the lungs and the heart and all those other organs, digestive tract, making sure everything is happy. I said, I'm not going to ignore you, body. If something comes up and I need to scratch or I need to or cough, or I need to adjust, you know, I'll always be there for you. My mindfulness and kindness, always there for my body, whenever you need. And then again up to my, with my hands. Put my hands wherever they feel comfortable. So you can decide, hands. I trust you, I care for you. May my hands always be well and happy, comfortable. As you see, I treat my body just like many, many parts, like my family, always caring for each one of them. And the one who needs it the most sometimes, who is hurting or feels lonely, rejected, some parts of my body are sometimes like that. So I spend time with them. My throat. Thank you so much, my throat. You've done so much talking in the last few days. It's been worth it. I go up to my head. Wow, this is the head office of my body. This is the HQ, the control center. Although sometimes I like to move the headquarters down to the heart of the operation. But anyway, that you really count to my brain, my eyes, my mouth and nose, ears. We have something in the Dharma called right speech. But we also have right listening as well. Just speaking, it's only half of it. Just listening. Just not having this static noise called thinking. But really clearing our channels so we can listen. We can hear our body. We can feel it. So we can pick up the signals when our body needs them. Attention. So now picking up the signals from my face, really listening to the feelings, the sensations, the heat, the cold, the tightness, the looseness. It's amazing when I don't assume that I know how my face is. I listen. Yeah, I get this information. Information on just how to relax, how to open things up, to stop pulling and pushing and holding burdens, and let things go. How to let go? I listen first, in silence. And in the silence, I'm taught by nature, by Dhamma, what letting go is. And how easy it is to do once you listen instead of giving instructions. Even my brain, I'm aware of it and I'm kind to my brain. and my whole body is relaxed. I just grow a little bit more mindfulness by looking at my peaceometer. How settled am I? Or am I still really agitated, restless, doing stuff, fighting the world again? I listen to my peaceometer. I learn how to relax and make peace. Make peace with my body, with my mind, with my past, with my future. And I'm kind to my past. I let it in, open the door of my heart. Some pleasant sometimes, but the pain is over. Just the memories sometimes that just you overemphasize. So just let this pass be with kindness. And it being a difficult journey for you. But you're through the worst of it. Because you're here. You're here and now with no one giving you a hard time. So in this moment, I can be free. Birds are free because they carry no baggage. Not like ours, all the suitcases and bags. I always remember seeing migrating birds. They go from continent to continent. But they never carry backpacks. I imagine I'm like a bird. Gonna be flying to another country this morning, this afternoon, whatever. Very few bags. Certainly no bags of the past or the future. Once I have some mindfulness, present moment awareness, a little bit of silence because I'm focusing on listening rather than trying to work it all out with words and names. Not taking notes, but just being here. And then I can be ready to start the guided loving kindness. And for those of you who have heard me before doing guided loving kindness, I usually begin by imagining, visualizing an animal, not a real animal, or a real being, a real person, but my imaginary one. Because in imagination, fantasies, you can have much more control. You can imagine these beings as you wish. So I usually choose a little kitten. I like cats. Dogs too, but I don't know why cats. And I imagine this little kitten. You can actually imagine it to be a little puppy or a baby or a flower, a rabbit, things that you feel an affinity for, you care for very easily. So I imagine a little kitten. But my little kitten has been rejected. He's alone. He's so, so terrified. Every time my little kitten has trusted anyone, she has been bitten and scratched. The pain and the hunger is one thing, but the lack of trust, the lack of hope, the lack of love is something even more painful. The body wounds heal quite quickly, but the emotional scars, oh, they're just so hard to reach and to soothe. So my little kitten, I imagine just seeing a couple of eyes in the dark corner, some cold recess of this world. As soon as I see it, it's scared, doesn't know me. I also see in those little eyes just a little sparkle of hope. Because my little kitten knows that she has to trust somebody. Otherwise she will die. Die alone. Disappointed. Sad. And I look at my little kitten. And it doesn't turn away from my gaze. It allows me to some eye contact, to give some meta loving kindness. Dear little kitten, I will never, ever, ever harm you. And those are not just words, I'm sincere. I'll care for you. It's not a burden. Serving others is a privilege, a source of joy. It's one of the great meanings of life, to have the opportunity to serve and to give and to help someone. It's part of this great thing we call love. It's not just saying, may all beings be happy and well. It's actually doing it. So dear little kitten, the door of my heart is open. It's safe for you to come in. And when you speak to this little imaginary kitten, it's like you create mind contact too. Just when I ask my legs, are you okay? You know, the mind contacts those legs and they relax. So my imaginary little kitten, alone, fearful. You see its head come a little bit out from the darkness, from the shadows. You can read its mind. Maybe, just maybe, this person is someone who can love me and care for me, who I can feel safe with. And I need that so much. Even though I'm still terrified, I've done this before, trusted somebody that's been so hurt. But keeping that eye contact, giving loving kindness, not just words, but imagining it, feeling it, and sending it. And I often imagine this loving kindness, this power, like a golden light, starting from my heart, our physical heart, that area, and going through my chest to this imaginary kitten, bathing it with every time I look at it, every time I say something. It's a vehicle to send this golden energy of loving kindness through my chest to this to this little kitten, abandoned, desperate. And you feel, you can just see it's face start to soften and its head come a little bit further out from the protection of its little corner. And so it's the time I extend my hand. Imagine my hand just reaching so gently. Any sudden movement and that kitten would just disappear into the hole. Just like sometimes nimittas, you just have to just do it slowly, gently. Any excitement or any fear, that the whole thing will fall apart. So this little kitten in the corner, it doesn't move. It stays as it allows me to touch her. And what I feel shocks and saddens me. Kittens, cats, their skin is always, or rather fur, is always clean and soft. But this little kitten, I can feel the scabs of dried blood. I can feel its bones. I can feel there's hardly any flesh in that little kitten. It must be so hungry. Hungry not just for food, but for safety and warmth and fearlessness, trust. So as I keep the eye contact with that little kitten, dear little kitten, I care for you. I will never harm you. or hurt you. It's not my purpose. My purpose is to care, to nurture, to protect you from all those other, I don't know, people or beings who hurt others. So the door of my heart's open. Please accept my kindness, my protection, my warmth. And as I send this stream of imaginary golden light of loving kindness, metta, like a ray coming from my chest into this imaginary being, really radiating it until the kitten gets soft. And it allows me to pick it up so gently. You can see the still fear in that kitten's eyes. Any moment it's ready to jump off and run away and hide somewhere. Because still it doesn't trust, not 100%. But nevertheless, it allows me to draw this little kitten, just fluff, fur on bones. I don't know whatever's inside, but there's not much flesh. It must be so hungry. And then I bring it to my chest, and it lets me, and I feel it relax. The tightness, the tension of fear, the control, because you never feel that you're safe, protected, ready. That sort of control, that tightness, ready to pounce and run and protect yourself at any moment, is disappearing, fading away, as I cradle it in my arms, bring it to my chest, and warm it. Not just warm it with my body heat, but warm it with my loving kindness. Dear little kitten, you've got a friend, a protector. I'll find something for you to eat. But you know, not just ordinary food. You're going to get the best. I care for you. I want you to see you grow up. Be a naughty little kitten running all over the place, full of energy, bouncing up and down, just like those little joke kangaroos, which every year they come out of the pouch. I always look forward to that. They're just like rubber balls. Boing, boing, boing. And then this little kitten, I feel it close its eyes and fall asleep. How amazing is that? It trusts me. Trust me to hold it as it falls asleep. You can hear it purring. This wonderful sound of contentment and happiness, which you hear from little cats. It's happy, it's content, even though it must be so hungry, even thirsty. What it really wanted was some protection, kindness, some warmth, some love. The food will come later. The little kitten knows that. It needs to relax and let its stress disappear. As I hold this little kitten, I don't know if it's aware or just fast asleep. I hold it. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to care for you. And I get this amazing warm energy from my heart through my chest and right through this little kitten, which tiny tail, its really soft paws, right through its body, through its wounds, scabs of blood, the scratches, the bite marks, and then through its head, its little ears and whiskers. I care for you, little kitten. I really do. May you be happy and well. And that's my promise to you. And by this time, my loving kindness is just huge. It's this beautiful, soft, emotional, associated with a tingling on my chest. Manifestation of emotions just occurs on your body. Like the anxiety, has one type of feeling, fear has another type of feeling, anger has another feeling. This is like unconditional selfless love. Tingle on my chest and I recognize it. And once it's strong enough, little kitten will be fine. I replace the image of my kitten. This is a little piece of paper which I light the first flames of a fire on, the kindling. And then I put something more real. Maybe your best friend in this world. The person you're closest to. Maybe your partner, your lover, your parents or child. And if you are alone, it could be just a little pet, your best friend. The one who's closest to you in this world. You imagine them. Imagine them as if they're standing right in front of you. You say to that person, that being, I can understand, I can see that some of the things that cat feels, that little kitten feels, you've been through that as well. Losing your trust in others. Losing your peace. Always being tight and tense. Wounded. Hungry, maybe not for food, but hungry for respect. Warmth. I give that to you. My best friend, closest being in this life to me, I care for you, just as you've cared for me so often. If you are alone, afraid, I'm there for you. I care. Even when you're not alone, you're not afraid, you're not sick, I still care. The door of my heart, always open. Plenty of people in the world criticize and put you down and point out all your wrong things. But I'm your best friend, I will never do that. I will build you up, care for you, remind you just of your wonderful qualities. Even though you may be a bent and twisted tree, damaged goods, those are the ones I like. I find affinity for. I care. That acceptance, that respect, may that be my loving kindness gift to you. You don't have to be perfect to be my friend. The door of my heart fully open. And then you start imagining this golden light tingling in your chest again and then bursting through to bathe your best friend. They may be sick, they may be old, they may be suffering, they may be fast asleep now and they don't even know you're doing this. Sending them kindness. But they probably do. If they're still asleep, they're probably having this wonderful dream about you, that someone in the dream is caring for them, looking after them, because it works. You imagine this, your best friend, you soak them with this beautiful golden light of loving kindness, from their head to the tips of their toes, to their nails of each hand, each finger, all parts of them, up and down. You bathe them, radiate them, soak them, zap them. This beautiful warmth of unconditional, undemanding, loving kindness. I care for you. Thank you for being my friend. And you just really get into it, zapping them up and down all over. This beautiful, warm power of radiating loving kindness. And once you've got lots of loving kindness, then you imagine a different scene. Without opening your eyes, you imagine all the meditators in this room, the people you have passed by in the corridors, who shared the space of the elevator, seen having their food in the restaurant. All these people who you spent the last 8-9 days with, you know that they've had frustrations just the same as you have. They've had joys and highs like you've experienced too. They're your Kalyanamitta, your good friends in the Dhamma. And so now, we get this beautiful loving kindness, like a golden ray from your heart, through your chest, going around every meditator in this room, right around them, and then inside of them, soaking them with the power of your kindness, your forgiveness, your friendliness. We bring all of our loving kindness together. It really has power. It has power to fill this whole room with this healing, warmth, accepting, loving kindness. So you realize there's nothing missing in you. You're a human being. And this loving kindness gives you the reassurance you can let go. You can let go and receive this wonderful power of love and kindness, acceptance, of well-wishing. And when you take it into your body, it's like it goes out of your body again. Just in hearts, more powerful. Growing in power, in healing, in accepting, in warmth, in love. For all beings, it just comes and goes right in us and out of us and around us, and it always makes us just more peaceful. As we can feel, we can experience this wonderful, golden, powerful healing, accepting, caring, power of loving kindness to all beings in this room. And soon, may we all be happy and well. No matter who's enlightened, who's not enlightened. Because here we become all together at peace. No measuring. Just making peace and being kind. And having this wonderful gentleness. Letting go of all questions. Letting go of all the past, the complaints, the pain, the fear. Because loving kindness is a bliss. It is a pleasure of freedom. Freedom from being alone and afraid and isolated. It allows you to come out and share in the world. To disappear in this beautiful, wonderful loving kindness towards all people in this room. Then it goes out further to all the people in this hotel, Chinsui Caves. May all beings, not just humans, birds in the air, animals which crawl on the ground or under the ground, insects, everything. May all beings share and receive this beautiful power of acceptance and peace and friendliness and being a family on this planet Earth. As you feel this golden light of loving kindness, as it spreads further, it actually gets stronger. As you make it more wide, it doesn't become dilute, becomes more intense. As it spreads up to the hotel and restaurants and casinos and bars up on top of the hill, you don't need to escape with excitement. Money is important, but not totally. Kindness and warmth and acceptance. Now that's winning the wealth of having friends and people you can trust. As this golden light of loving kindness spreads down the hill to your home in KL or Penang or Ipoh or down to JB over to the East Coast, up into Thailand, down into Singapore, Hong Kong, India, Australia, the whole world. These days we have friends and loved ones all over the place. So as you spread, imagine this loving kindness, like a golden light, glowing, getting stronger, as we join together, going right down into the peninsula of Malaysia, to Burma, India, China, the whole world, not just human beings, all beings, birds in the sky, insects of the sky, animals, and beings who live underground, who never see the light. As you send this beautiful, warm, loving kindness over the whole planet Earth, not even just for animals, not just for breathing beings, even from the plants and the trees. May all life, anything which can feel, may you receive our kindness, our respect, our warmth. You may be injured, feeling rejected, misunderstood. May all beings in this world right now know that they're being thought of. They're receiving our greatest gift, our power of warmth, of love, of unconditional loving kindness. May the whole planet and all beings be at peace. Be free from pain and fear. Know what it's like to be like a Buddha, without fear, not wanting anything, at peace, kind, warm, and free. May all beings be free. And then you understand that you've missed one person out. That's this being who bears your name, whose photo is on your passport. You. So imagine, like there's a mirror right in front of you. And in that mirror you see your reflection. This person who you woke up with this morning, yourself, who later on this afternoon will be traveling with you wherever you go. This body and mind, these five components of existence called you. And how often have you felt like that wounded kitten, alone, misunderstood, rejected, cold? So now you, as it were, gaze at yourself and say, me, myself, whatever name you give it. Don't need to be philosophical, the names are just pointing in the right direction. I care for me. In this moment with my eyes closed, I am the one in front of me, the most important person in the world right now. I care. May I look after myself and care for myself. Not just to leave me to the very, very last on the list of people to look after. Right now, put me at the top. May I rest well, be healthy, be free of pain. All this past which has been carrying around, I don't need to. I'm so kind, I give me the gift of letting go. I grant that opportunity to me to forgive. Forgiving is like untying chains which have been wrapped around your body, stopping you breathing and being free. The self-imposed prison of hate and anger are now set me free. The emotional bondage of guilt or revenge, I walk out of that prison shelter. The door is open for me. If I care, I want me to be well and free, peaceful, happy. The door of my heart, not my prison, not my past, not my future, the door of my heart is open to me now. Come in. As you imagine this beautiful golden light, which went out, now comes back in. All around you, to your throat of visage, to the pain, to the fear, to the sickness, to the hunger for understanding. You can understand yourself and others can understand and appreciate you too. Every tree in the forest belongs. It's called ecosystem. Without one, the whole forest is diminished. Without you, just the whole world is less. So you appreciate, respect, and care for yourself. May I be happy and well. May I understand and have wisdom. May I find the truth, not in books, in philosophies or religions. May I find the truth, peace and freedom in my own heart, right here. May I be so free of the burden of the past, of hurt, that I dance through the next part of my life. Light, spring in my step, because I carry no burdens. May I be at peace. To give this beautiful loving kindness to this person you'll never escape from, you'll always be with until your final nibbana. And then at the very end, we bring in all those rays of loving kindness. We bring in the light, as if we draw it back into our heart, but we leave the warmth outside. We leave the warmth in the other side of the world. We leave the warmth in our homes, in PJ or KO or wherever. We leave the warmth down in the valleys, up in the casinos. We bring the warmth back into this room. So we bring the light into this room. The light of gold, the light of loving kindness, drawing it in, leaving the warmth and the healing outside. Until it's drawn into our body, into our heart. Until it's like a golden ball, like a nimitta, brilliant, like a sun inside of you. Beautiful loving kindness energy, however you imagine it, visualize it. And inside, imagine your heart like a white lotus, pure, fragrant, clean, and this little ball of energy, incandescent, powerful, the seed of loving kindness, hovers over the open lotus, and then the white petals of the lotus slowly envelop it until the lotus closes in over the loving kindness, keeping it safe inside of you for use at another time. I will now give the final loving kindness blessing. Don't open your eyes yet. Natime saranangan Udo me saranang warang Etena satcha vajena Soti te ho tu sabada Nati me saranang anyang Dhammo me saranang warang Etena satcha vajena Soti te ho tu sabada Nati me saranang anyang Sangho me saranang warang Etena satcha vajena Soti te ho tu sabada. You may now open your eyes and smile. So that's the end of the retreat, sort of, but it doesn't really end. But don't go thinking, oh, what should I do when I go home, what could I, you'll find when you change, the whole world changes. And when you look at people, you work, whatever, you just give them a smile. You can remember a lot of the teachings, and you don't need to actually recall them or write them down. They just come up in your heart when needed. Just like antiviruses and computer. They're there, they're already programmed in, and then when they're needed, it comes up, oh yeah, that's what I should be doing. So, is there any announcements from the organizers? What to do? After breakfast, yeah? After breakfast, okay. So in the meantime, going off to teach another retreat somewhere else, I don't know where. You'd be great to be kind. So it's nice to be able to, having made a contact with the Buddhist Gem Fellowship, and I don't know how many years. 20 years, is it? Oh, I'm really old. When you first saw me, was I really thin and handsome and fit? And now I am fat, handsome, and fit, but in a different way. I must admit, I get many more photographs of me now than when I was young. So I must be getting more handsome, or at least more photogenic. So anyway, that I hope that the lessons of the retreat, learning how to let go, relax, being peaceful, being happy, will really help you. And help others. And sharing of merits. Sometimes people would always say, oh, you know, Theravada Buddhism is so selfish, just being in for your own enlightenment. But if I was in for my own enlightenment, why am I have to work so hard for others? You can't separate other people out. And so your happiness, other people's happiness, does become intertwined. And service. As I tell many of my monks, I say, I wonder, why are you away so often? Because when you serve others, you create so much energy, which you can share when you get back to with the people you love. And what is service anyway, but letting go? all those of you who have not just participated in this retreat, but served. Even those ones who are cooking my breakfast right now. Oh yeah, they are good. I hope. While preparing your breakfast, and those of you who will clean up afterwards, who will get all the talks recorded and share them with people. All of the people who look after you and care for you. Even the security guards. You know, thank you for looking after us so well. Thank you all the cleaners to making your rooms comfortable. And thank you to everybody here. And even somebody said, oh, you say Gajahn Brahm, but look, if none of you were here for me to talk to. So when you do some service for others, you do actually find it does inspire you. And from that inspiration, it's so easy to turn that into deep meditation enlightenment. Usually at the start of the range retreat, I always remind people the great story of Visakha. Have we got time for a little story? Okay. This is not a joke story, this is a true story from the time of the Buddha. That just coming close to the start of the rains retreat, Visakha invited the Buddha and many monks to come to our house for the dana, for breakfast. And when she had prepared all the food, she sent one of her maids, can you please go to the monastery to tell the Buddha and the monks that the food is ready? And so she went, you know, to the monastery. But then what happened was, just as she was going there was a big rainstorm. And because it was raining heavily, the monks took the opportunity to take a bath. Because in those days, without sort of showers or toilets, the monks had a choice of either bathing in the rivers or just not bathing at all. In those days, and just at the start of the rains retreat, the rivers were in flood. So it was really dangerous dipping into a river, you get swept away. So they took the opportunity to actually to bathe in the outdoors under the rainstorm. You know, I've done that a few times. You know, just going out into the rain. It's really refreshing. A very heavy rain, monsoon rains, you can wash yourself off. And it's, you know, it's really fresh and clean. So anyway, all the monks were doing that. But when the maid came, she saw all these naked men. And then, you know, she was a bit embarrassed. You know, it's not nice to see naked men. And so she turned around and went back and said, there's no monks in that monastery. There's only naked ascetics, perverts, weird. Anyway, so Visakha was very wise and she said, go back again. And so when she went back, the maid went back, the rain had finished, the monks had dried themselves off and got properly clothed. And so, oh, is this the same monastery? I don't know. But anyway, she said, okay, please invite you to come for the meal. So they all went for the meal. And after the meal, that was Visakha came up to the Buddha and told what had happened. She said, you know, my maid went twice. The first time she saw you all bathing, you know, without any clothes on. And, you know, that she was a bit offended and just surprised. So she said, I've just offered you the meal. Can I ask a favor in return? And the Buddha, what favor? Can I be the one who offers bathing cloths for all the Sangha in Sarvati who need to bathe under the rainstorm? Just little cloths, you know, sarongs they can put around themselves, so that they won't need to be naked. And the Buddha said, it's a very good idea to have that for the monks and the novices, but I can't just give that to you, you know, just as like a personal gift, and no one else can offer those rain cloths. Why should I offer it to you? And the Visakha said, because then I will know that every monk who comes, including novice monks, who actually spends the rains in this monastery, that I would have given them a rainy season bathing cloth. And I will know that every one of those monks or novices who gets a jhana. These are big things, jhanas. Sometimes I downplay them. This is the bliss. These are very high attainments. If I said high attainments, you might think, ooh, not me. But you can do it. They're called Uttari Manusa Dhamma. Uttari Manusa Dhamma means, no, really up there of the human experiences. And anyone who gets one of those, I will know, I gave them, I helped them, I gave them a gift. And that would just give me so much joy and energy and inspiration. I was part of this. Not only that, she said, but he said, also the bhikkhunis, the nuns. Can I please give them bathing cloths, have the exclusive franchise for bathing cloths in this monastery? Just me. And why? Because the same. And not only that, you know, she realized she was, you know, on a winner here, as they say, so she exploited it. But also, when monks and nuns first come to Sarvati, you know, they're just on their travels, they may not know where to go for alms food. So can I always invite them to my house for the first time when they arrive, so I can get them, you know, nice food, so they can settle in before they go to the monastery. And when they leave, the last time they, you know, when they leave, they may need extra supplies like some sandals or something for their journeys. Can they please come to my house? I give them invitation, please, to my house, so I can supply them whatever they need. And there's, you know, sometimes monks and nuns get sick. So if they get sick, can I invite them to my house? I give them special food and ask them if they need any special medicines. Or if they can't come, may I send the food to them in their sick bed? And she said, you know, when a monk or a nun is sick, they need an attendant to look after them. So can I look after the attendant so they don't have to worry about food? They ask me and I'll send stuff to them. And again, the Buddha said, all those just for you. There's other people who want to make metta as well, loving kindness. But, you know, if I do that, then I know for sure that anyone who gets enlightened, either once return and, or sorry, a stream winner, once return and non return, I know that I would have supported them. And if other people can do this, maybe the one who gets enlightened I don't catch. But if I can do all of that, there's other things people can do as well. Then I know that the reflection of my generosity and what it's actually done, and how many more enlightened beings it's made, that will give me so much joy. But I'll be able to meditate, and my mind will become still because of that joy, and I too will be able to experience the paths and fruits because of the joy which I get from all my dana. And the Buddha understood. Wow, you've really understood. So I'll grant you that wish. Because understanding that the privilege of giving dana, of organizing retreats, of videoing the talks, of making sure everybody is comfortable and happy, of making sure that you've got nice cushions to sit on, understand that you have nice rooms to sleep in. All that dana which people do, they've contributed to your enlightenment. Maybe not now, but one day they've had a part in it. And that gives you, wow! That is like ecstasy, but not the tablet, the reflection. And it inspires you. So, that is why we serve. And we don't lose anything when we serve. We don't say, oh, I spend all the time just looking after everybody else. Just I could have been here listening to the teachings, but I was in the back room cooking the breakfast. No, they're the ones who get the biggest part of the action. My two upataks, attendants, oh, having to look after a monk all the time, making sure he's got his water, making sure that he's got the food he likes, you know, making sure they get the shoes for him, and just calling him. No, but was it a sacrifice? person, if we really understand, there'll be a whole line of people. Me next time. You did it last time, I want to do it. Just like I was taught by Ajahn Chah. When he would come back from arms round, because we would never wear shoes on an arms round, that before he came into the hall, about a dozen monks would jump up to wash his feet. And they were surrounded him. And I thought, I couldn't understand this. I said that you don't need so many monks to wash your feet. And also, you know, he was old. He was mature. He was old enough to wash his own feet, like I did. Why do you need all these people? So I thought, you know, it's ridiculous. This is just these terrible rites and rituals, customs and traditions which made no sense. And I thought, well, if you do need help washing your feet, you know, have a roster. You know, this monk today, that monk tomorrow, rosters, that's how it should work. But then, they didn't understand that either. One of my suggestions, let's have a roster, make it more efficient. So it took me a while to get up the courage to do an investigation. Ehi Pasako, Pachatang, Wetitabo, Winyuhi. Ehi Pasako, go and see for yourself. Experience it for yourself, washing your teacher's feet. But I had to be fast. So I missed a couple of times, and I said, I'm going to wash the feet. But then so many monks came up before me, I couldn't even get close. So one morning I came back really fast from arms round. And I was waiting, poised. You know, like a cat about to pounce. And when Ajahn Chah turned the corner and I saw him, I rushed up, almost ran, and elbowed a few other monks out of the way. And I got a toe to myself. A hold of my teacher's toe, and I think it was a big toe, and I started, and I got so much happiness and joy up. This is crazy, am I mad? But then I understood the joy of giving a service, just to be able to wash one of your teacher's toes. Oh, so nice. Got so much happiness. I got a toe to myself. Wow! And that was amazing meditation for the hard nothing next week or so. That's why the joy of giving and serving. So it's not just about, you know, you. Giving, serving, helping others is a beautiful part of the path. And when I was first years, I understood this from that moment. Sometimes other monks were off in the caves in the mountains, and I would do their visas for them. I volunteered. I did that for you guys. And they had so much more time in peace and solitude than I did. But when we came back together again for functions, we'd chat like people did. How's your meditation? Hey, my meditation's much better than that. Why? I said, you had all this time in the caves and the forests. How come that I was serving and helping others? And of course, the answer is very clear. Sometimes you get dry. You get sort of parched with energy, parched of energy. You have the opportunities, but it doesn't really gel. The meditation, the breath doesn't really become bright and beautiful. The reason is because you haven't done the service. It becomes selfish, my meditation, my practice. Not the letting go, the abandoning of yourself, helping others. That's why the service is a privilege. Giving is the source of joy. And letting go of what I need, what I want for others, that really just fast track to jhanas. So, you all have the opportunity. Look after your rooms, clean them up, help other people. Just, you know, don't keep pushing people out of the way and just, you know, be kind. Be generous. Somebody having breakfast, you know they like this, you give it to them. Yeah, you have it. You get much joy giving to other people than you have eating it yourself. Just give it a try. And then you find your meditation all takes off. So, that's those last little words to actually to be really kind to generous people. And also you find plenty of time you get to meditate, but the meditation which you do is empowered by loving kindness, by letting go, by service. Wonderful thing to do. So, we haven't done the three sadhus, but now's a great time.
Sadhu! Sadhu! Sadhu!
Very good. So please look after the BGF. Without the BGF, I would not be here. Oh.
Very good.
Okay. Our five precepts. Okay, of course I share. I share everything, so I share my 226 precepts. Precepts, sorry. Okay, I give five precepts. So, I hereby... Come on, in English. I hereby renounce the eight precepts and adopt the five precepts.
Sadhu! Sadhu! Sadhu!
Sort of, you know, just to the point, instead of Parinatipata, which sometimes people don't know what it means, you know what the five precepts are, so you keep it simple but powerful. Excellent. So anything else? You got the five precepts? So now you don't have to worry about breakfast anymore because you can have dinner tonight. No, you can have a nice breakfast as well. Celebrating. Yeah, what have you got? Have you got your... Even the bear could move. Amazing. Okay, it bounced. Okay, you can let other people see that. There's the little bear there. Go sadhu. And hasn't finished yet. Bows. Very good. So may that bear, who's done a lot of service making people happy, may that bear just go. Is it I forget how Wall Street is it a bear market now? Okay. And he used to have, I was told, always to grin and bear it. And I never understood the grin and bear going together, but now I do. To grin and bear it. Okay, very good. Okay, now's the time for the ending of jokes. So now, oh, by the way, you're all forgiven for anything you've ever done. I always give forgiveness in the three time zones. In the past, you're totally forgiven. In the present, whatever you're doing now. And in the future, until the coming of Maitreya Buddha, or your full enlightenment, whichever comes first, may you all be well and happy. You're totally forgiven by anything you've ever done by body, speech, or mind, which is inappropriate. By anything you've ever thought, which has been inappropriate, you're forgiven. And anything you didn't do, you're forgiven. So the whole lot. Totally forgiven. Slate wipe clean, because that's what loving kindness and forgiveness is. Being peaceful, being free. So, and also, I also forgive you for not understanding my jokes and not laughing. As I forgive that person who wrote the fart question yesterday, they're forgiven too. What? The forgiveness? Oh, complimentary, yeah. To be complimentary means you don't pay for it. It's given for free. It's complimentary, but with an E. C-O-M-P-L-E-M-E-N-T-A-R-Y. So sometimes, I think if I'm going on Air Asia this afternoon. I think they give water complimentary. You don't have to pay for it. Nothing complimentary. What about the toilet paper? I need to go into the toilet. Or do I have to take my own? Do I have to actually pay extra for life jackets in case we go down? But many times you get things for free. They're called the compliments of the chef or whatever. But it's also a compliment is actually to praise you. Yeah, to say, oh, it's a wonderful retreat. I give my compliments to the organizers and to the chefs. So complimentary and complimentary instead of an E and I. So the peanuts are complimentary. They give praises. A nice jacket, sir. A nice tie. They compliment you. They say, oh, wonderful meditation retreat. Do you still not understand? Okay, forget it. Let it go. Okay. So, the next appointment, next part of the retreat is breakfast meditation. Meditation. Remember what I said, always give it everything you've got. And then afterwards, what time for the photos? 8:45. Excellent. In here. 8:45. Gather here. Okay. Okay. Very good. 8:45. Okay. 8:30. Yeah. Why not 8:30? Is that plenty enough time? 8:30. Okay. 8:30. Back down here. Fine. Okay. So let's now bow, and then we can go and have our breakfast. The peanut. Oh, they give that in bars. Reason why? Because it was just a joke. Because peanuts are complimentary, so they give compliments. Yeah. Okay. I thought it was a ghost. Okay, forget it. There are some things which the Buddha said you cannot explain. Okay.